shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out. I don't know if I can do the normal catchphrase here. Hollywood does make bad movies. Make bad movies, we make fun of them, but this is more like Hollywood makes so-so movies?
Very mediocre movies,
and we're going to make fun of it because it is still very funny. This is a podcast. We're going to take apart a movie. I was actually going to wade into this and make a joke that we're going to get back to our discussion of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade and see if Jack has any more thoughts he wants to give us on
I can
movie.
Go for hours on that.
You know what? All right, we'll cut you off
I will gladly. Let's talk about Indy. I like Indy.
Our movie this week is Hercules, and we can't even just say the 2014 Hercules movie, because there were two Hercules movies in 2014.
Not to mention there's about 47 Hercules movies that have been made over the years.
We're watching the Disney animated one, right?
That's the one we watched.
I wish.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We all should have just watched a different Hercules movie.
Before we get into this, I want to say I have a whole box set of the old 60s like spaghetti Hercules movies. Steve Reeves, former Mr. Universe, and these are terrible movies.
Yes.
Very terrible. And this movie is like God compared to those films.
Well, and maybe we should start off to say that this is, I think, a cut above the normal movie we're watching for this podcast. It's not good, but this is no Sucker Punch. I've seen Sucker Punch, and this is no Sucker Punch.
Oh, thank you.
Sucker Punch.
But there's still a lot to make fun of here. Let me introduce everyone who's here. I'm joined, as always, by Cody Wolf.
Who are you?
I was hoping someone's going to do that one. Jack Estabrook.
I'm not going to take it away from everybody else, so I'm just going to pass on a catchphrase.
Wow, all right.
The best catchphrase of the film is the only one that stuck out in my mind.
Well, should we flip a coin for who gets to say it then?
I'm just going to say I hated this movie.
Yeah, well, Nick Newart and Christy Smorrow here with us.
Hello.
I thought the best catchphrase was that Ian McShane line. I was like, are you kidding me? At a point where the movie had actually kind of righted the ship a little bit and was holding it together, then totally undermined itself.
I think I laughed through that entire scene.
Yeah, that was craziness. All right, so we're... I'm trying to think of how to start off.
Say it.
Fucking centaurs. After suplexing a horse.
In a movie that has some shaky special effects,
actually wasn't so bad. Like, it was about 50-50 on the special effects. They put some money into this.
I think on that one, they were like, okay, we're going to put some extra money aside, because if this looks bad, we're really in trouble.
They might have just had The Rock actually suplex a horse.
It's been a while.
Maybe.
Although spending all their money on that scene meant that, you know, the climax scene was awful CGI.
Yeah. The movie starts off with a super compressed version of the Hercules legend. I mean, when I say super compressed...
Best origin story ever, for just because they kept it to like 2 minutes long.
Yeah. Yes.
It wasn't a whole movie of how he became Hercules. It was just, here's what you need to know in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think part of this is why I hate this movie. Lots of times I listen to this podcast and you guys are doing comic book movies or something with a big origin story and you get into what it's all from. That's my turn this time. I'm a huge Greek mythology buff.
Oh, all right. Then you're going to have a lot of problems with this movie. Yeah.
So basically anytime I watch any of the Hercules movies, I even ripped apart the Disney one, which, you know, I love the Disney one, but really all of that. So I went back and forth on this one because they kind of try to make it Hercules, but try to make it, well, no, this isn't, you know, that's the legend, but here's what really happened. But then they try to work in little pieces of
They try to have it both ways, especially early in the movie. And then there's the point where they're like, no, he's just a real dude. And then they're like,
well, maybe not.
JK, maybe he is. And they kind of like try to bring it back around.
I like that about that. It was like, well, he's not really the son of Zeus. He kind of tricks people into thinking so that
he just happens to be really like strong because he's naturally very big.
The whole myth, the idea that the myth is in fact just that, a myth, and he's really good PR.
Yeah.
So one of the things that got me was, okay, so you're going to say it's legend, it's not really real, but there's pieces of the legend, but then you're going to give the date and location card. Yeah. Like, Macedonia, 358 BC. That's really specific for a Greek mythology movie.
I generally don't like it when they do that in movies, in general. Especially if it is like a fantasy film and we know it's ancient Greece and that's all you need to know. And they say the names of the cities that they're going to all the time. And most of us remember from school the basics. So I don't think we need that extra push. I don't know why that always bothers me in a movie. It's like they show a shot of Big Ben and it says London. You know, they show a shot of the Eiffel Tower and it's like France, you know, and you're like, or Paris. And you're like, well, they show the White House, Washington, D.C. And you're like, of course I know where we are.
Well,
stop.
There's a lot of people out there who probably don't, though.
I guess.
And it's not,
there's some dumb movie.
For this, it's maybe. Not the place maybe. That bothered me. It's the year. Yeah. It's ancient Greece.
Yeah.
Are you really going to give it a year?
I did feel like that was an oddly specific touch in a movie that is painting with pretty broad strokes in a lot of ways.
It was like, what was it, Halloween 3, where it has like very specific timestamps, like 3:47 p.m., October 29th.
So you can log it,
like a Law & Order episode.
Basically was.
I had another theory. Like, I know this is based on a comic book.
I didn't realize it until the end credits.
But I feel like this movie and the comic book it's based on really wants to be a Conan story, not a Hercules story.
Yeah.
Because this feels...
I was thinking Hercules the Barbarian as I was
It does.
There's
you
a lot
really,
of Conan elements to this film.
Like, I feel like they could get the rights to Conan because Robert L. Howard's estate is famously very protective of them and they're very expensive.
Yeah.
So they were just like, well, we'll just do a cool Conan story and we'll call it Hercules. Because this is...
It did feel a lot like Conan.
Yeah.
Which is probably why he's not the son of Zeus and he's just a guy.
He's a guy and he's a mercenary.
Well, they had just done the Conan movie that didn't do well.
True.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that was my other speculation going into this. I don't know if I'll ever know the real answer on that. So we see kind of like Nick said, it's very quick. We see some of Hercules' 12, what do they call them, labors?
12 labors, which...
I want to say chores, but that's not right.
Hercules can do chores.
I'm going to nerd out here. The actual myth is that, and this is why I say they work some things in, but not all, and they change things. The actual myth, the thing about the two snakes in the cradle that he kills, that's part of the real myth, but then he grows up, and Hera drives him crazy and he kills his wife and kids. He actually he beats his wife and kids to death in a crazy rage because Hera drove him crazy. He's assigned 10 labors as penance. Two of the labors he got help, so they assigned him two more, which is how it gets to 12 labors.
This
is why
then we talk about three of them anyway, so it doesn't really
They mention several throughout the movie.
Oh, okay.
Just little
they
quick.
They really seem to focus on the three.
They focus on the boar, the lion, and
the Hydra.
Hydra. And they work in Hippolyta's belt because he's got an Amazonian with him as part of his crew. But they mention several more throughout the movie just as little references. Again, unless you're a nerd like me, you're not really gonna get that. But so that's why, you know, they've got the dead wife and kids. But through a different reason. I mean,
now here comes the real question. Here comes the real question. Why not just make a Hercules movie based on the legends?
That would make more sense to me. There's a good
if you
story
want,
there.
And if you want to make
because
it,
Chris, you'll go see it, and that's about it.
I would see that. I would see that movie.
I mean, this was like we already said. There was already one other Hercules movie in 2014. I think the idea is the hook of this one is
that.
You know, they're actually real. It's
but you could still PR, do the, you could still do the 12 labors and set them more realistic.
Well, yeah,
that would be. I would like to see that.
But again, I mean, that's also ground that's been covered in plenty of other movies.
I guess
I'm glad they didn't do it. Well, because actually, that's one reason I was glad they didn't, or they kind of did the real thing, was because you know it just reminded me of like 47 Ronin. Where he's like fighting these mythical beasts, and it seems like really weird. But and this one, like he's fighting those mythical beasts, but it turns out that's
when
not
come
actually,
out of the shadow. Like he brings the heads, the severed heads, of the Hydra, and they're soldiers wearing masks. Yeah.
But I was wondering about.
I thought he had a shark in that bag, by the way.
I was wondering about the whole his wife and kids thing, because one thing I didn't like is I hate, and it's like so cliche in movies like this, like in ancient Greece or Rome or whatever, like the brooding hero has a wife and kid who are dead, and he's like
we just saw one with the Vin Diesel movie.
Yeah, it's like you always see that, and it's like I was wondering if that was actually part of the Hercules legend, or if they're just
because like if I had to, you know, if you do like the this movie is this plus this plus this, like this movie to me felt like, oh okay, this is gonna be Conan meets Lord of the Rings, meets Magnificent Seven, meets The Fugitive, because there's like the fugitive element to this I was like a little mystified by, but
it's almost like a murder mystery in this of who killed his wife and kids. But to me, I'm like, well, you did in the stories.
Yeah,
but,
and he even at points is like, did I?
Although
I'm like, I don't know. You were there, dude. Like,
at the end of the movie, you find out that they were ripped apart by wolves. How in the world would anyone think that he did it?
Yeah,
I mean, there would be bite marks.
I think in 385 BC, the CSI wasn't too terribly good there.
There's the comment that the wolves were gnawing on his children's bones.
Yeah.
Clearly, they were eaten.
Maybe the bad guy disposed of the bodies and said that he did it. No, they'd need evidence, though.
They show him, I think.
No, they wouldn't need that. They would need evidence. Right. They would need evidence.
And Ian McShane makes the Autolycus Rufus Sewell makes the comment that we found him with the bodies.
Yeah.
Like clearly people saw the bodies. That they were not.
Now, why not just, if they wanted this to be real, I guess they wanted him to be a hero, and who's going to follow a hero who killed his wife and kids? But if they're going to say the mind control thing, they threw in the drugged aspect.
So why not say they
drugged him and said that they were like demons or something, and he killed them, and then he came to, and he realized it, and
I bet they were just like...
They were afraid to make their hero a lot. Yeah, which is, I understand
that's
that.
That's pretty bad.
And Cody has a point that not everyone knows the story like I do.
That's something I never knew about the Hercules story. That wasn't in the Disney movie, so...
No, they avoided that part.
So now we kind of jump past like the labors of Hercules, and we find out he's walking around, he's big into animal cosplay. He's got this, like, lion thing.
Okay, but that is part of the story.
That is part of his story. and it freaked me out a little in the beginning, and then I was kind of like, that's kind of cool. I mean, as a costume design choice, I was like, it's not bad.
Yeah, I like that he just, like, put it on when he went into battle. It wasn't like he was walking around wearing it.
Yeah.
Kind of ridiculous.
with this lion head on his head all the time.
He has a team. This is where the Magnificent Seven comes in. And is that the real thing?
No, he had, like, one companion, which I forgot to look up the name, so I can't remember if it was actually any of those, but...
Okay.
No, that's not. Okay. That's not part of it.
And what I thought was
to assume it actually was Ian McShane.
What I thought was kind of unnecessary is we sort of had two storytellers in the movie. So they have the storytelling kid character, but then they just pass the ball over to Ian McShane in the movie. It's like, then what was the point of the kid?
Well, there's a ton of repetition. Like, normally in something like this, if you're going to do this, like, ragtag team thing, they all want to have separate identities
so you can like them all,
but they kind of don't. Like, this is almost the same thing as like the captive. Like, if they had told us that Rufus Sewell was good at puzzles, I would have been like, I would have bought it.
But he's good at throwing knives,
I guess.
He's good at teaching people how to make a shield wall.
He's good at throwing knives, but Ian McShane is also good at stabbing people.
This
was a bit like the Seven Samurai, wasn't it, where they go into the town and they have to teach the farmers how to defend themselves from the bandits. Or the Three Amigos. This is something that's been used a lot in film.
Well, that was one thing. I mean, I'll get into it more later on, but there's so many cliches in this movie. There's so many cliches in this movie where I was watching, I was like, oh, yeah, like I could figure out, oh, the kid's gonna save Hercules at some point because he won't let him fight. The guy who leaves is going to come back and save everyone.
Of course.
There really wasn't anything in this movie that wasn't telegraphed.
I did expect that flaming spear to stab Ian McShane because he said it would. I said he's going to reach out and catch it, and sure enough, he reached out and caught it.
I like this movie. It really fails at introducing the team members because at one point
he says their names, but he says them quick.
Yeah, there's a roll call,
and then someone's like, "Hey, you can't retire. Who's going to take care of that guy who's so full of rage he barely functions?" And I'm like, "What? What do you? What guy? What
the guy over there quietly eating a chicken?"
And then they chain him up for some. And I'm like, "Why is he chained up?"
Well, it's like, oh, it was feral. Failure of don't tell us, show us. We do later on see that this guy is full rage, but I'm like, why was that not his introduction? Why is it people talking about how he's full of rage?
Because all they got for the introduction was their name.
Yeah.
Literally like a roll call, calling out their name, and they stood up.
It's basically what we do at the beginning of every podcast.
Well, I mean,
catchphrase.
I mean, the characters weren't hateable, though. Like, I like that little scene where they're kind of bivouac, and then they're talking to the princess about Hercules' past.
Oh, we're going to get to that scene, Jack. Don't worry. Jack, I've got like a page on that scene, which is like a screenwriting lesson
in
do's and do nots.
Good, good.
In that roll call, I had forgotten that Ian McShane was in this movie, and I was actually like, oh my god, Ian McShane is in this movie. And I just recently watched all of Deadwood.
Oh.
So right now I have a lot of respect for Ian McShane, and then I'm like, oh god, I forgot you were in this movie, I'm sorry.
Well, here's the funny thing is, I liked Ian McShane in this movie, and I liked Rufus Sewell quite a bit in this movie. Yep.
They were both my favorite.
They seem to be like making the most of like what
situation.
They were given with. Like, you know, it was almost like an episode of like Cutthroat Kitchen where they were like given a ton of challenges and bad ingredients, and they sort of made a dish out
thing,
of it.
The weird thing about Ian McShane though, his character, the first like scene he has, he's kind of acting crazy and weird. Like, I thought that was a character. Like, I thought he was like John Hurt from Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Where he's like speaking like it really just like, I'm trying to think of the right word.
Well, yeah, he's
a
like,
seer.
He's speaking really,
in riddles.
He's being very like vague.
But then he becomes like.
But then the rest of the movie, he's like character. He's just like normal and comic relief. Even as this, but that first scene, I like thought, okay, this guy, he's like
and
the weird guy.
And at times, he's kicking butt. Like, he's sort of playing three different characters. There's like a spacey, like future seeing character. There's a funny Ian McShane character, and there's like a, I'm going to save the day because I'm the toughest guy here, Ian McShane. I'm like,
Ian McShane's
which
Death
one
Chariot?
Is he? Yes.
The best heavy metal band
of
the late 1980s.
Yes.
Which I'm surprised he didn't take out some farmers with that Death Chariot. I mean, really, he was just indiscriminately riding through the crowd.
Yeah, I know. He had very good aim with that thing.
Yeah.
And I liked, too, one of the crazier flashbacks we've seen in a movie. The shortest flashbacks ever. There's kind of like this, someone
well,
says
it also
something.
It was also kind of like it really happens quick.
It just comes up and it goes, 2 years earlier.
Well, I didn't see it. Like, I wasn't paying attention to that. I thought this was just like the next scene.
Oh, yeah.
But then, like, his wife and kids are there. It's like, oh, is this a flashback? It's like, but it's in the middle of this other scene, and then they go back to the other scene.
And it's a
like
similar scene because he's coming into the town.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever met royalty?
Yeah. He's like, once or twice. And they cut to him, like, meeting, you know, talking to this king, or whatever. And it was like, I just thought this was the next. But I'm like, wait. But
I think here they're kind of expecting you to know more of the Hercules legend and to know that he had a wife and kid, because he walks in and there's the kids and the wife gives him a hug, hello, and so clearly this is past.
Yeah.
But so they go back and forth on whether they expect you to know the Hercules story or not.
I figured his kids, wife, he had a wife and kid, and they were dead by that point, because they showed like a quick flashback of like bloody kids. So I was like, oh, he's got a whole picture.
I almost feel like this scene.
So that's when I saw this. So like, this must be a flashback. But at the same time, they didn't really. They just kind of cut to it in the middle of his like thought. And then, I went back to it.
I guarantee the title card that said 2 years earlier was an editing note from the studio where they're like, you got to clarify what's going on here. Because then also, I didn't think the scene was necessary other than the fact that Joseph Fiennes pops up as like the Hercules King, which is just like, okay, so we're going to see him later, although I don't know in what context we'd be seeing him. But
it's funny, I didn't realize who the actor was, and I just kept thinking the whole movie that he was like the poor man's Ralph Fiennes.
And you were very
not wrong.
Oh, how close you were. How close you were.
I saw in the credits, like, oh, okay.
For a moment, I'm watching, and I'm like, oh, Ralph. Oh, no, it's Joseph Fiennes. Never mind.
Poor Joseph Fiennes.
He wasn't bad.
No. He wasn't bad. Why are we mocking him?
Did anyone else find it funny? Because in the flashback, like, Hercules comes in, and he's like, greets his family, and he gives him a hug, and he is carrying a gigantic bloody sack. Like, and
no
he doesn't
cares.
Even put it down to like hug his family. Like,
did he have the lion thing on too? Like,
I think that was kind of like an everyday occurrence for that family.
It's like his seventh labor. They're used to it.
It was a labor.
Oh my god, Dad.
Was it a labor of love, and that's why they're hugging him?
But I'm
get it. Get it?
I saw that one coming.
Get out.
So then we come back to the modern day. And so they're mercenaries.
Yeah. They've been hired by this woman who says her father is the lord of this. This is all kind of.
Go ahead, you can. I didn't pick this.
I didn't pick it up when she
said
that.
Basically, there's like some kind of like a clan or a tribe or a splinter group that is trying to overthrow her father, the king, and they're not properly prepared. So they need Hercules and his military skill to train the army and whip them into shape, which is exactly the Magnificent Seven / Seven Samurai story, where they get the poor farmers that need to learn how to defend themselves.
Now, this is where I have to admit, where, aside from Hercules, I could not remember any of the names, because it all just sounds like someone
Reese's
of some places.
I just remember Reese's, because it's just Reese's.
I just started using, like, actor names. Like, it's just
John
Hurt says,
you know.
It was confusing, too, because John Hurt and, like, his like right hand man look exactly the same.
Oh yeah.
So like the one guy come out, I was like, oh wait, no, that's not the king. It's the other guy.
Yeah.
So at one point, that guy like pulls out a whip. And he's whipping people. I was like, oh, why is the king like whipping people with his spine whip? And I was like, oh no, that's his
henchman. Yeah. So they tell Hercules that some bad guy leading an army of centaurs is taking over Middle Earth. Sorry, it's not Middle Earth. I guess it's just Earth.
He needs to basically, the concept is he needs to train their army so they could properly fight them.
Because Hercules is known for being a wonderful general.
Yes.
Right. And so,
I liked it too because like the whole thing with the mythical creatures being fake, but everyone thinks they're real, but Hercules is...
Like
when they're like, oh, they're an army of centaurs, he's like, it's really centaurs. And they're like, what? You fight things like that all the time. He's like,
Yeah.
So well, I kind of like that.
That felt a little bit like... untapped, like an untapped mind. Like again, like I think Chris, you're saying they didn't fully commit to that.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot they didn't fully commit to that kind of bothered me, but
I
almost would have made sense if at every stop along the way, like if the movie were just them going to fight the bad guy instead of let's fight the bad guy. Oh no, we have to retreat and do another training montage and then fight, then find out this is internal.
This is super crazy because you're right. What happens is the king is like, all right. Train my men. Hercules is like, okay, I'm going to train your men. King's like, all right, training's done. Training's done every day.
It would make sense if along their journey, the soothsayer or whatever is telling the stories of the 12 labors, and let's say they're each directed by a different person, and they look fantastic and weird, and then when you're back into reality, it's very straightforward, evenly lit, plainly shot reality. And then at the end of the movie, then you begin to figure it out like, oh no, this is all. Like Hercules is in his darkest hour, but you're Hercules, you can save the day. I'm not Hercules, I'm a man. Those stories aren't real. Like that I would have loved to have seen. And then with the help of his friends, Hercules rises up as a leader as opposed to just Hercules randomly whipping dogs with stones at the end of chains because Ian McShane shouted really loud.
Yeah, which we'll get. So they go out with this army that Hercules is like, this army is not ready
They did better than I thought they would with having like 4 hours of training, though.
Well, I was very confused for if their army was wiped out or if their army was not
it
wiped
didn't
out
look
because
like anybody,
both conclusions yeah. seemed to be well, presented
they,
in
It didn't
that
look
scene.
Like anybody got killed, but then the Lord Coitus or whatever said that later on that he's like, oh, they killed half my army. I was like, oh, I didn't even notice.
It was because they're going out to fight. Well, and we should mention, too, that this is where we get a scene where Hercules' spaz teammate is literally chained up at night an animal.
Is it a wheelbarrow or something?
Yeah.
It's a chariot.
Oh, it's a chariot?
I mean, that
didn't look like a chariot.
We never see anything else in the movie that justifies why this guy is treated like the Wolfman.
Except the whole point was to have him get a bonding moment with the kid.
Yeah, you're right.
Right then I'm like, oh, yep, he's going to die saving that kid.
You're right.
Yep. And he's the one who doesn't talk, so he's the one that would be the one that hurt the least.
Well, Hercules does say too, he's like, he's my most loyal, friend or follower or whatever, and then he's like keeping him chained up in the chariot.
Yeah. Like, seems terrible.
I hate to see what you do to your well, he murders his own family, so I guess that's he chains up his friends and murders his family. That's
not in the movie
character.
Though.
Yeah.
Tough love, man. Tough love.
So the John Hurt army led by Hercules is marching.
Now, is this the
around.
First time or the second time?
The first time. And they find a bunch of heads on sticks and corpses.
And the corpses are actually alive, cliche.
Well, they're all Jean-Claude Van Damme-ing it, pretending to be dead.
And again, how long have they been lying there? Were they like, shh, shh, there's an army coming. Let's lie in the sun and pretend to be dead. Like, this never makes sense to me because this is like, it's not like a... Like, they fly in and drop down off of ropes, and they have time to go, oh, crap, improvise, and, like, lie down. It's like the army's marching towards them. You can see them coming from a mile away, but yet they're just kind of been lying there for, like, hours or days.
Not to mention, they're straight up buried, some of them.
Just like
they
being held up in a wall in an ancient Mayan tomb in Indiana Jones.
And they get no strategic advantage from it. Like, much like Jean-Claude Van Damme in Street Fighter, they only do it to look cool. Yeah. They don't really... It doesn't help them in the eventual fight. Like, it's not even like a sneak attack because by the time
the
first guy
surround the army,
well, I guess,
but
I feel like they could have done that
it's
anyway.
Still grasping at straws,
yeah. And so these green guys are all pop up, and Hercules, the big instruction is form a square, which made me laugh for a long time.
Like, a special contingent has to protect his nephew,
and the king, yeah, the two of them, and
So, I'm going to be a complete nerd again. the square and the shield wall and the flanks that they do are actually ancient Greece military tactics.
True. Oh, yeah, true. The phalanx is accurate.
Oh, and but, this movie is also, all those other movies I listed before, also meets 300.
Yeah. But the fact that, like, it's not until, so far these farmers have not been taught how to fight. They've right. just been taught how to stand there.
Right.
And that is not the answer to every battle. Like, right. you do need some kind of offense.
I'm really going to nerd out right now.
Oh, there we go.
The ancient Greeks...
You do beat me at nerding out.
The ancient Greeks did not have steel. They were a Bronze Age people, were they not?
He mentioned
steel. Like, these are forged steel, and these swords would... Now, they implied...
Wait, hold on.
But ancient Greeks...
Are you implying...
Did they
this
have
movie
steel?
Is not historically accurate?
Yeah.
I am. I'm pissed off by that.
Show me your sources, sir.
I don't know. It might be true. But I just for some reason, that bothered me. You mentioned steel. Of all the things to bother me, that bothered me. I thought, and maybe I'm wrong. Stop me if I'm wrong, but I thought the Greeks didn't have steel. They were a Bronze Age people.
I don't know if you're wrong, but I'm going to stop you.
And then the Romans would develop steel later.
Because I do feel like that is the least of this movie's problems.
Maybe I'm wrong, though. Maybe they had steel for years before that. I don't know.
In a movie where a character is about to ride around in what essentially is a lawnmower cart that mows people down.
Well, the one thing I kept thinking is, like, why do they bring the king along on these battles if their sole purpose in the battle is to protect the king?
I know.
Just don't bring the king. You
don't
have to form
this guy.
Yeah.
Well, because you're right, because they don't know how to fight, so then these green guys are, like, massacring them.
Yeah.
And for a long time. Like, yeah. Things do
like,
not
Like, this was a
well.
Bad idea. Like, nobody advised against this. Okay, one day of training, they're, well, that
oh, no.
one guy's
oh,
okay.
No. Hercules advised against it.
Okay. Yeah. I forgot that.
And then, all of a sudden, after just everybody's getting mowed down by the green guys, Ian McShane comes out in his lawnmower cart that's just
cutting down. He borrows from the set of Gladiator.
Yeah.
The one thing I hate about movies like this, like, they take place in, like, ancient times when they have, like, these crazy weapons that are, like, totally, like, they're ridiculous.
Well, and also, why did they go right to this? If you have this cart,
why didn't he use it beforehand?
Or, like, the chick, you know, with the bow and arrow with the blades on the end. It's just, I hate...
Well, we
should
also talk about, I mean... Warner Brothers should have sued. She is playing the Legolas character from Lord of the Rings. I mean, they don't even...
Oh, but she's an Amazon.
...change it. But she's an Amazon.
Yeah. Like, I just want to see, like, cool, you know, ancient Greek fighting or whatever, you know, like the military tactics. That's so cool, and then you pull out these crazy weapons.
Like,
and,
sides
and
stuff.
I mean, someone might as well just, like, flown in on, like, a glider and drop, like, firebombs or something. It's just, like, dumb.
Yeah. I think that's Clash of the Titans.
They roll out the cannon and start firing.
Yeah. So the lawnmower cart scares off the rest of the green guys. They retreat.
And now you're going to let me train the army?
Okay.
That's a scene. That's a scene.
So what was the point of that first attack? What purpose does that serve, even when you learn the villain plot? What purpose did that initial attack serve?
I think they just needed an action scene. So they gave an action scene totally out of context to the rest
of
the film.
Now, why wouldn't you just insert a campfire story and then cut to one of the laborers and make that your action piece?
Yeah.
That would have been too easy.
Yeah, that would have been too easy.
That would have required,
Is this where he gets a vision of his dead family?
This is where we learn more, like, as the story goes on, we get more flashbacks to where Philippe.
Well, in this one, he's, like, basically, like, sleepwalking, I think,
and he envisions
climbing over mountains of corpses, which... Yeah. At first, I was like, oh, clearly this is a dream. But then when he kind of wakes up, that still looks like mountains of corpses that he's standing on.
Yeah.
Leftovers from Man of Steel.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, so, but he sees the three-headed dog. I can't remember what the dog's called.
Cerberus.
He sees that and
also
it, like,
one of the 12 labors.
Yes. But you find out, like, that has something to do with his whole family being killed thing in his head.
And then Ian McShane
shows up like, you have to kill that beast.
Well, this is another point where... I was frustrated that they weren't just going all the way one way or another with the labor mythology or not.
Right.
Because, okay, he's being haunted by Cerberus, which is one of his labors. But in the movie, it's not like he was assigned to go get Cerberus like he is in the labors. He's assigned to bring Cerberus back to, I'm pretty sure it was actually King Eurystheus, Joseph Fiennes' character, that is the one that he has to report to throughout all the labors. But... They never say that was one of his labors, but it's the labor he never finished, but they've already established that he did 12 labors, so it's like, pick one.
I think it was more like, this is just something that's haunting him due to the death of his family, and like, so that Ian McShane's like, that's your last labor, whatever. And
they really wanted to kind of hammer that point of like, don't forget, his family's dead, and you feel, So now we get, as Jack alluded to earlier, this amazing, like, campout scene where the king's daughter comes up to, like, Ian McShane.
Well, because earlier she asks
basically
him about...
Basically, it's everyone but Hercules.
Yeah, earlier she asks Hercules about if he has a wife and kids, and he just, like, blows her up. He's like, all right, go away.
Yeah, so he totally ices her. Yeah. And so she comes up, she's like, hey, where are you guys? Can I join you? Cool. Can you tell me about how Hercules' family is murdered? Like, it's
really
sudden.
What happened there?
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
And then they don't really answer a question. They just talk about how, Hercules is an awesome guy. He really helped me out, and he saved this guy, and he allowed me to avenge the people that killed my people, and, I grew up with him, and we grew up together in the mean streets of Athens, and I'm like, well, that's okay. He killed his family. Can you talk to me about that, please?
And then the end, Rufus Sewell's kind of like, so, to answer your question, we're really not too sure. I don't know if any of this other stuff helped you, but we feel better about it.
Can I throw in one other point about this scene? So, Rufus Sewell's talking about how they grew up together as orphans on the streets. But Hercules has a nephew. Yeah. They never, ever established how in the world he has a nephew.
And they have the same blood. They're physically related.
They keep saying when a man and a woman.
But there's never any reference to a sibling. And he says, we were as close as brothers. We grew up together on the streets as orphans.
Does that mean he's Rufus Sewell's son? And they cut out a plot point, maybe.
Maybe. But there's no explanation to Hercules' uncle or to Hercules' nephew.
I felt like...
But Hercules wasn't raised on the streets. Hercules was born according to the story. But again, this film is trying to make it seem like the stories were fake.
Maybe his story was fake about growing up on the streets with Hercules.
Maybe.
Maybe he's trying to cover for the fact that he's actually Zeus's son.
There you go.
I also, just the more I think about it, that kid, like the nephew character, doesn't need to be in the movie. Oh, the God, Ian McShane character should be doing everything that nephew... You could just hand all of his lines to Ian McShane, and the movie's probably better for it.
Because I kept thinking he was going to die, because I'm like, that's the only reason to have him in this movie. It's like, let me fight, no, you can't fight, and then he finally fights, and he dies, and Hercules is like, ugh.
Yeah, I knew he was going to save Hercules. The no-holds-barred storyline, basically.
Yeah. I figured he was going to die saving Hercules. I mean, he does save Hercules, but he doesn't die.
They use him as a hostage at one point when the kid's not
very
around.
Very briefly.
Like a tiny, brief moment, he's a hostage. Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah. I have a note here on my sheet that we're now 1 hour into this movie. I do not know who the villains are. I know Joseph Fiennes is in the movie. I'm expecting him to come back in, though he has done nothing villainous to this point.
Yeah. Except be really creepy.
And I'm like, we're 60 minutes into a movie, and I don't know who the antagonist is. Like, that's pretty...
Well, at this point, I supposed to think it's that Reese guy.
It's the centaur.
Reese guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the centaur.
A guy you've never seen.
Yeah.
You
see him in silhouette, but...
Yeah. A silhouette described by... A scout character, like you've never. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. I mean,
well, the general's kind of a jerk. So I mean, you clearly know something's wrong with him.
Oh yeah, they.
But just being a jerk doesn't necessarily make you a villain. He did fight nobly in the battle scenes.
I originally thought it was gonna be like the general was a jerk and didn't like Hercules, and I thought the general was gonna go after the daughter, and then it was gonna be like a love triangle thing where. The general gets mad at Hercules because the daughter likes Hercules, but none of that happened.
Yeah. No, I knew this plot was going to be very, very simple, so I didn't even go there.
It wasn't. So now they actually get to do the real training montage.
Yes.
Where the farmers really get trained.
Okay, we'll do it for real.
Yeah.
The training is basically just lock your feet when you're holding a shield.
Now they do
bow and arrow training, and they show you're getting better, you're getting better.
Some offense training.
Yeah. Get a little of that.
You get the pole arm training, and they imply that the kid is still trying to teach himself how to fight because Hercules won't let him fight, which again, like Cody said, I expected to lead to something, which it didn't.
And I'm a little dodgy on how this came together. So this is where, like, John Hurt comes to them and says, hey, this centaur who's tearing up villages.
Somehow they just know where he is.
Somehow they know where he is, and they're like, and Hercules is like, okay, we can sneak attack on these centaurs, but then literally the moment they show up, they're like, nope, sneak attack didn't work.
Because they're right there.
Like, I don't know.
How can you sneak attack when you've got like 6,000 men just bum, 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 like marching in a row?
Because it's like we're going to sneak through the woods.
You'd think the seven core characters would sneak ahead or something.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
This battle is another moment where the title cards kind of got to me because I'm no military strategist or anything, but the battle where they lost said it was in central Thrace. So they lost there. But now the next battle is on the Thrace border. So are they advancing? But they lost.
Sounds like they're retreating from their own. Yeah, they've already been attacked at the heart of their kingdom.
Like if they just had left off Central Thrace and Thracian border from the title cards.
See, Christy, this is why I don't read title cards.
Yeah, that's why I get confused. So the guy, they initially think that they are centaurs just because they're seeing them silhouette against the sun, and then they're like, nope, just a dude on a horse. Yeah, they're not centaurs.
Cavalry
they're
riders,
just guys.
And there wasn't even anything like done to the horse. I mean, the horse had a big kind of neck ring, but there wasn't like any like a higher seat for the riders to make it make them taller than the horse. I mean, there was nothing that
Isn't that the theory of the centaur myth? Is that when they first saw other cultures riding on horseback instead of just pulling the chariots around? Like some people were like, ah, they had like men who were half horses, and of course the intelligent people were probably like, no, they were.
There are Greek myths of people actually riding on horses.
Oh, so they were, yeah. But I wonder where that comes from then.
I don't know. I'm guessing centaurs. The same place where Zeus comes from. And so then this guy rides up to, like, the John Hurt Hercules people, and he pulls off his helmet like it's this big reveal. It's a guy we've never seen.
I know. This is what I thought was funny, because he pulls off his head. He pulls off his helmet, and he's looking at us. And then they cut to John Hurt, who says his name, you know? Ah, it's you! And then he says, yes, it was me. And the guy next to him does the same thing. And we're all like, And then it cuts back to John Hurt. And you're in on this too. And I was like, what? Who are these people? Like, we're supposed to know who they are.
Well, they expected to be Reese or whatever his name is.
And that's what they're expecting to find.
So then he takes his helmet off. They're like, it's you. But it's like, that's who you knew.
And it's worth noting for something that's going to happen shortly, that these guys who are on horseback are pretty aggressive in this. They don't say, like, they come off as like, hey, we are going to destroy you. Yeah, like. Yeah. They are not making any peaceful overtones whatsoever. And so it's like, okay, so I guess it's throwdown time. And, you know, this battle starts and the farmers are better prepared and their shield wall is holding. And Legolas is like...
shooting three arrows at once.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And, you know, jumping and spinning and... yeah, everybody's more to the
ring. Where was the lawnmower chariot in this scene, though? They should have brought that along.
That would have been helpful.
Yeah, they
ran out of gas.
I guess they broke that. And then at the end, so then they overcome, because the horse guys had a massive army with them.
Yeah. They said it was 3-1.
3-1.
And they're on cavalry. So they've got the maneuverability.
And the Hercules John Hurt team causes them to...
human shield or
they just shield wall against 500 horses. That works.
We're gonna shield wall you to death.
Yeah, which we do get the great scene where the Rock, the guy who took off his helmet, who I can't remember his name.
I think it's Reese.
Is it Reese? Yeah. Okay, so PC's like
exactly
coming at him.
Well, because their whole army retreats and Reese's like, to kill a snake you have to cut off the head. So he just takes it upon himself to just
reminds me a little bit of the 13th Warrior a little bit. The sequence. Where they think they're fighting a dragon and it turns out to be cavalry, and then you have to kill the leader in order to make them fall. For some reason, I was reminded of that in this scene.
It's a much better movie.
I laughed at this scene because the whole army is running one way and their leader is running the other way.
Yeah.
You'd think that, I mean, typically an army's going to follow its leader. You'd think they'd be like, oh, hey, he's still fighting. We should turn around. We weren't supposed to retreat.
No, they're like, but he's got it.
He's literally running past his own army, running in the opposite direction.
And that's where the Rock suplexes this horse.
He just like punches it from underneath.
Yeah.
So this is where I was reminded of Conan when he punched the camel.
Yeah. And
flips the horse right over.
And Reese's like lands on the ground. And here's where like then the Rock starts wondering, because isn't this where like Reese says something like,
well, after the battle is won, they're dragged to the streets as prisoners of war, and Reese's pieces says that that Hercules is fighting for the wrong side. Do you really know who the enemy is here? You know, and Hercules maybe doesn't believe him in that moment, but he started to plant the seed that, wait a minute, I didn't really figure out what I was getting into when I took this
job. Yeah, I don't know who I'm really working. And he's like, who are you, do you know, you're really working for? And then all of a sudden, it's almost like Nicolas Cage in Season of the Witch, where Hercules is like, wait, who am I working? I've been killing tons of people. Who am I working for?
Double his weight in gold, though.
Yeah, well, it's true. And then Hercules goes to talk to the king's daughter, in a scene that felt overly aggressive to me.
Yeah, yeah. He's very angry at her.
Well, it almost made you feel like that he did kill his wife.
Yeah.
Which he did, but in this movie he didn't. Yeah. I mean, in this version of Hercules, because, actually didn't kill his wife.
Because Hercules is confused. They're at this big, like, dinner now. They're like the celebration because they won, and the Lord, whatever his name is now, like, the king of all Thrace. Yeah. So, but he sees that his daughter is, like, as he says, like, giving sympathetic eyes towards the prisoner or something like that. And so he's, like, all, like, what's going on? Like, why are you sympathetic towards this guy? And she's,
but he's, like, really, he's, like, are you sympathetic towards this guy?
Are you making tedious?
He's, like, slams her against the wall and he's yelling in her face. And it's, like...
Yeah, it came on pretty hot, you know?
Yeah. So then she says, like, well, my husband was the king and my father killed him so he could be the king. So my son is actually the king, and once my father dies, he'll be the...
And it just kind
of... sort of waiting him out.
It just kind of blobs out that, like, John Hurt is evil. Yeah, like, basically. She might as well just say, like, my dad's evil.
Yeah. And, like, basically right there, and he just turns evil, too. The next time Hercules talks to him, he's like...
He's straight up evil.
Yeah. Join us, we can take over the world.
Yeah.
He went from a seemingly benevolent king, nice guy, seemed, you know, rash to go into that first battle, but seemed like a good guy, and then all of a sudden he completely changes.
Now, what does this mean, by the way? The green guys who had heads on sticks and stuff like that, are we now to believe that they were actually
the good
totally
guys?
I think it was implied that...
Is there like a third faction here that they were part of, maybe? Like,
I think it was implied that John Hurt had actually sent an army ahead or something.
Yeah, because I think
I don't think it's that complex.
No, you're right. I don't know.
They're going to that town to save those people, and then during the battle, all the people attack them, and Hercules is like, if we're here to save them, why are they attacking us? And he's like, oh, the Reese's like just used a spell or whatever to
oh, you're right.
Or drugged
them,
whatever.
You're right.
So what actually happened is they weren't going to protect them. Okay. Those people are trying to fight back against this army because they were trying to take over all of Thrace.
Okay. Okay. All right. I guess it makes... But, and again, yeah. Reese's PCs probably should have showed up and been like, hey, man, what's going on here? Yeah. Like, we're not... You know, why are you trying to take over my country?
Yeah.
Instead of waiting till after his army been decimated to talk about this. Not good timing. This is like what we call the Harry Potter problem. Like, if you read... Almost every Harry Potter book could have been solved if two characters had spoken to each other earlier in the book.
It's like I'm nerding out comedy.
Nerding out enough about Greek mythology. You don't want to get me going on Harry Potter, so I'm just going to not talk.
It's always Voldemort. They Scooby-Doo you every time.
Pretty much.
It's always the better finds.
And then, Hercules does go and confront John Hurt.
Yeah.
And John Hurt's like, whatever, child killer. Whoa!
He goes from offering him a job to be like the general of the army to just like insulting him and calling him a child killer. And
this was called a power move.
Yeah.
Right. In negotiations, you gotta...
But now do you want to work for me?
But then he does still say, hey, I'll still pay you, though.
Yeah.
Which Rufus Sewell seemed unclear of if they were even going to get their money, but John Hurt's like, hey, I'll still give you that.
All right, fine, get out of here. And I always pay my debts, so here you go, here's your money.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is their chance to cut and run, which is, of course, their conversation where all of a sudden Rufus Sewell wants to cut and run.
Which I did not feel like the movie had earned.
Yeah,
this
it felt really
this
out
didn't
place.
Feel.
They do make Rufus Sewell's character be a little money obsessed throughout it, though.
Well, but
so it wasn't
more,
like completely
a,
out of the
but
blue,
more but from like a practical perspective, as opposed to like he's a greedy son of a bitch kind of perspective. Like he's more like, look, let's forget the politics, let's get out of here, because earlier in the movie they're talking about it's time to forget the past, to stop fighting, to go somewhere nice, and to live out our final days in peace.
He's talking about living like kings. Hercules wants to go live somewhere in peace. He wants to go spend all his money.
Yeah.
I wish that in this scene, because like anyone who's even ever seen a movie before is like, okay, we all know Rufus Sewell's
coming back.
Yeah, of course, so, like, because he's not a bad guy.
I wish they had just played it a little differently, and Rufus Sewell had been like, you guys are all crazy, this is nuts. All right, give me 2 hours because I'm going to go stash this gold and then I'll be back. Like, if they had actually played it that way, but I'm like, oh, okay, that's a little more authentic to this character,
it just felt out of place for one of them to just totally abandon her.
Or even just
like,
to have
throughout
him
the
say,
movie, like,
or even to like last minute have him say, screw it, and throw the gold out.
Right.
Probably going to die anyway, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So Hercules and his team go back into John Hurt's castle. And when I say they have no plan, I mean, Literally.
Oh, they have 4 seconds they're caught.
No plan. They are caught.
They basically just walk back into the same party, and then he's like, what are you doing here? And he even calls him out for it. He says, I offer you a job, you say no. I tell you to leave, and you come back. What the hell is wrong?
Yeah, so they just capture them. I mean, this is terrible work by a guy who's supposedly, like, a military genius.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I half wanted him to say, form a square! And then, so he's captured, and all of a sudden, Joseph Fiennes is back in the movie. And Joseph Fiennes...
Now he's, like, chained in, like, a cave somewhere.
He's chained in a cave, and Joseph Fiennes' first line when he comes... Or one of his first lines when he comes in is my favorite line in the screenplay, where Joseph Fiennes goes, "Confused, Hercules?" I'm like, I literally wanted to be like, yes, I am! What is happening?
And so, okay, you guys have been making fun of Joseph Fiennes a little bit, but I actually like him as an actor.
I'm creeped out by his brother.
I do too. His acting is so bad in this. It's just...
He's phoning it in. That's what we call phoning it in.
It's crazy. He's only given one scene, and he's only given one thing to play. Half scenes.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing...
He doesn't have much to play here, except he's jealous of Hercules, and he's kind of evil. When he came back, I was like,
oh, that guy's back? Because there's no background to him. There's no reason, you know...
We barely even know who he is.
Yeah.
So this is another moment where... They maybe expect you to know more of the myth, because he is a bigger part of the Hercules 12 labors myth, and he's kind of snaky and a coward in the myth.
Mm. Yeah.
So they're kind of working that in, but nobody knows that.
Yeah, no. Well, I just figured, because I didn't know anything, I was just like, okay, this is the good guy king, and then he's friends with Hercules, and then he comes back and he's a bad guy all of a sudden. I was like, okay.
Well, it's really crazy, and his rationale, he's like, haha, I killed your family. You thought you killed your own family?
Congratulations, I killed your family.
Yeah.
With wolves.
And then his rationale is so crazy. He's like, you were getting too popular and too influential.
And that was a very subtle callback, because in the first flashback, you know, the king, and everyone goes, yay, and Hercules, and everyone goes, right? Yeah. And he kind of has this little face, like, he's like, kind of rolls his eyes and then claps for Hercules. Mm-hmm. And then that's the callback. The crowd cheered louder for you than for me, and I killed you. But this man just killed the Hydra and saved your city. You'd think one king would, have your moment.
I mean, by this logic, like, I'm surprised the U.S. government wasn't trying to murder Tom Hanks in the mid-90s, because he was just way too popular, way too influential. Well,
also, one of the things that got me about this whole thread is that, so, Joseph Fiennes is back because he wants to kill Hercules, because Hercules was too popular and too powerful. Yet John Hurt's entire army is wearing Hercules' lion emblem.
Right.
Yeah. They give Hercules the entire army, and they're no longer wearing the Thracian emblem of the crow that we see a bunch of times in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're wearing Hercules' lion. Nobody cares.
And they wanted to make him the general of the army.
And they all of a sudden start trying to kill Hercules at the end of the movie at the drop of a hat.
The movie does make it very clear that Hercules is built all on branding. Like, it's all PR.
Yeah.
He was the only one that understood the importance of giving them that lion emblem.
But they're all following, you know, they're all thinking that this armor is great, and they're following, and they're suddenly have all this courage because it's got the lion on it, because they're following Hercules.
Yeah.
So John Hurt doesn't care, but Joseph Fiennes is all bent out of shape.
He's kind of like Michael Jordan.
Exactly,
like,
Yeah, perfect.
So then,
run faster, swing harder.
Well,
especially because, like, even Hercules says, because he's like, you would have eventually overtaken his king, because you were basically their king. They loved you. And he's like, I literally said I didn't want anything. I didn't want to be a king. I just wanted to be a father and husband.
Is like, exactly.
He's like, that's why I had to do it.
What? That makes no sense.
He's like, literally, I just wanted to go somewhere and just live with my wife and kids.
Yeah. And Joe Stein's like, that's why I had to kill him. You know what? That was your fatal flaw.
Yeah.
Wanting to just be a quiet person. Yeah. So now we get the famous scene where, so all of this is going down. They're going to kill, who are they going to kill?
The king's daughter.
They're going to kill.
The future king's mother.
Yes.
Yeah.
The future king with these dogs. And Hercules is like, oh, I'd love to stop this, but I'm chained to the wall. I don't know.
Ian McShane tucked in a corner cell, right, like speaking over Hercules' shoulder.
Just gives him like a bunch of like, it's it like he's so reading like Successories posters or something.
It feels like out of place. It was like, just shut up, Ian McShane. Other things are going on. Like, you don't have to start. Like, yeah. I felt like Hercules is already like getting there. Like, he's already going to break free. But then Ian McShane just starts talking and like,
this woman's over here getting her head cut off. Could this even have helped in Spider-Man where Ian McShane's just like, we all believe in you. I'm like, well, that kind of goes without saying. Yeah. I don't need to know something more than that. I don't, you know.
We didn't question thinking, Hercules.
Yeah.
We didn't even question you when you had no plan.
That's the most important thing they teach you in survival training is it never underestimate the importance of a positive mental attitude.
Or I thought you were going to say build a fire. I was like, oh, okay.
No, actually, that's the first thing they tell you.
Yeah.
Well, positive mental attitude.
Ian McShane and how to fight three
wolves
like,
at once. And how to fight three wolves at once is number two.
I think you can do it. And then we get the famous line where Ian McShane's like, what's your name?
Who are you?
Who are you? I'm saying, who are you?
Who are you?
And he's like, I'm Hercules. And like tears Hercules the chains out of the wall. Yeah, basically it is. Yeah. And smashes the dogs with chunks of rock from the wall.
Yep.
Well, then he's getting attacked by these dogs. And I kept wanting to say, there's literally an axe on the ground next to you because you just knocked it out of the executioner's hand. But he never picks it up.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
Yeah. It's not
a smart guy.
This was another... In the few compliments I'm going to pay this movie, the CGI in the dogfight sequence wasn't terrible.
No.
Like, they sort of actually pulled off this dogfight.
Which, fine, because the dogs in the rest of the movie look terrible.
Oh, it looked awful. Yeah. Yeah, they put their money into this sequence.
Yeah, they clearly chose the spots that they were going to spend the money on.
But to be fair, when you usually saw him, he was Cerberus, who's like a fantasy anyway. I'm okay with that a little bit.
Maybe.
Like, if the movie played up more of that, the Hercules stories are just legend, then when they show the legend, then maybe you can go all out and make him look kind of crazy and weird and epic.
Yeah.
And then when Hercules is a real guy, he's just an ordinary guy with a lot of muscles.
Okay.
You keep talking about his muscles, right? Yeah.
I think that's the first time I said the word
the entire podcast.
I do feel like this is the one movie where all the crazy physical things The Rock does actually make sense because he's Hercules, as opposed to like the Fast and Furious movies where he's, you know, like lifting cars and things, and he's just supposed to be a normal person.
Punching cars.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't really talked about this.
Does he suplex any cars in those movies?
I don't know. I think he probably has, especially that last one. I feel like I was torn between whether I like The Rock. Like, The Rock seems oddly uncomfortable in this role to me. Yeah. And this was like a passion project for him. This is like his movie, but he didn't. Because The Rock, I feel like, is usually better when he's got a little comedy to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this movie is so straight that I just felt like he didn't...
Which might be why the Centaur's line is so memorable to everybody, because it's the one time he's got some comedy.
The one bit, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, too, if there was more there with the character, like more of his emotional state and him, you know, because I thought that was the good stuff when he was like kind of, you know, think about his family or whatever and upset, and
yeah,
it was more like deep. I thought it worked better, but just him being muscular and
I would have felt more comfortable with this again if it wasn't Hercules. It also hurts that everyone has an English accent in the movie except for The Rock.
I think if it was a present day action movie, like there's something about it being a period piece,
So, like, if he trained the LAPD to use a shield wall against him,
That
would be awesome, actually.
Or if this was like post apocalyptic instead of like
Greek or something like that,
like that might have been a little better. Yeah, it just, he feels, I was having
making
trouble
it a period
buying
piece, it just seems too serious for him.
This is what I'm saying. Like, every Hercules movie out there, I feel like, just can't do it right unless it's animated, goofy with Disney. Mm. But
come on, Hercules in New York.
What do you got against Kevin Sorbo?
I used to watch that show. But it's just everything that's done in ancient Greece and Roman times just looks silly when they try to put it in a movie, which is sad because there's some great stories.
I think there've been some good adaptations. In general, I've seen good movies, particularly about Greco-Roman, I guess.
Okay, then I need to get some titles from you because I don't feel like
it's a tough era to do well.
It really is.
I don't understand because, you know, like Spartacus is an awesome movie and Gladiator is an awesome movie. You know, like these are, you know, Rome, the television series. I mean, these are, I don't think it looks silly or bad at all. I think it works.
Those
but, I mean, we're not talking based on myth, though. We're not talking about, right. like adapting, you
well,
know,
if you do it straight up,
Hercules.
I think it's
so
fine.
Like Troy wasn't a great movie.
Right.
No. You know, but...
Don't tell that to our mutual friend, Jim Kenyon, who
loved Troy.
Literally considers that one of his favorite films. I'll tell you a funny story about that off camera. Or I'll tell you a funny story about that.
I'll give you that. But.
All right, so now the King's Daughter, I don't know what her real title is. The King's Daughter lets all the rest of the Team Herc out, and they're like running through the halls. And the guy whose army Hercules destroyed is now on Team Hercules, and he's all in.
Like, they didn't even show them like breaking him out and him like having to be convinced to fight with Hercules. He's just like there with them.
He's 100% signed.
He's just there like, oh, what are we doing?
Yeah,
let's go fight
that guy. Hey, that guy who suplexed my horse and probably permanently like damaged me. Yep, all right, we're working together. And they go out, and John Hurt's got the whole army, and they're gonna kill John Hurt's grandson,
the
future king.
You skipped kind of a big part.
Which one's the? Which part? Oh, that Rufus Sewell is back.
No, that comes later. Hercules straight up murders Joseph Fiennes.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah,
which I didn't think they were gonna do.
Neither did I, because it wasn't even like one of those, you know, where they're fighting and you know Joseph Fiennes falls on the sword or something like that. No, was straight up. He had him pinned against a throne and just.
Cold-blooded murder. Because I really thought he was going to be like, I'm not going to kill you. Death is too good.
That's
right on
see.
For you. You are deafing it.
Yeah.
That was... Which, again, Joseph Fiennes must have a combined total of about 3 minutes of screen time in this film.
Yeah,
thereabouts.
Yeah. So they're out. John Hurt's going to kill the future king. The crazy dude from Team Herc just is like, and he like runs out there to protect the kid.
Takes like 10 arrows protecting the kid.
Tons of arrows. And goes full.
Even like whirlwinding his arms like this to deflect the arrows with his
axes. He's like trying to do like the Wonder Woman thing from the TV show where she's like deflecting bullets with like her bracelets. I don't think that really works.
And even though he's got like 6 arrows in him, you know, Hercules carries him to the top of the stairs and he's able to breathe his last word, which is his only word, which is, of course, Hercules.
I was surprised he actually died.
Somebody had to.
I knew somebody was going to die. I didn't expect it to be him because that was like, he didn't speak or anything, so it's kind of like that didn't really happen.
But then you knew you knew he'd have his one word as he was dying.
But at the same it was earlier in the movie, they played up the fact that the king's daughter, you know, basically taught herself to be a doctor of sorts.
Yeah, that never went anywhere.
And I was wondering like, oh, is she going to heal him? Or, oh, nope, he's dead. He's dead. Okay.
Yeah. I just figured that was the one character who didn't have any emotional weight dying to me because it was like...
Oh, no, but it was his... You know, calming his rage and taking care of the kid because he bonded with that kid.
It was Hercules' most loyal companion who Hercules keeps chained up at night.
And Rufus Sewell is back, and there's never even like a, hey man, I'm back. Like, cool, I'm back. It's just like, it's almost like the characters in the movie were like the audience are like, yeah, we knew he was coming back.
I did laugh at his line when he comes back though, when he's like, what are you waiting for? Go kill someone. I thought that was like,
I did like that. This movie reminded me how much I like Rufus Sewell.
Oh yeah, he's good. The whole scene is like our heroes against the army that was loyal to Hercules and just learned that their king is a jerk and they're like, well, we better try to kill Hercules anyway. And they're like running up after Hercules.
And they just watched their king try to murder an 8-year-old.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're still just...
Yeah, but they all thought that kid was kind of a jerk. Just a spoiled brat. My God.
You're all going to fool him. He's our king. So now it's Hercules.
It turns into, what can Hercules and Team Hercules tip over?
It's just like a tipping.
Yeah, it's like if this was a video game, this would be like a mini game where you're doing like a button mashing comments to like tip things over. They tip over a bunch of like bottomless fire.
And then
fiery
a massive statue of Hera whose head crushes John Hurt.
Yep.
Which, so, again, I'm a nerd. The moment when he pushes over the statue of Hera, that is a reference to one of his labors. Because in one of his labors, he has to get 3 apples from a tree, and he does it by tricking Atlas, who's holding up the sky, he tells Atlas he'll hold the sky for a minute if Atlas will go get these apples. So there's a whole thing, it's in artwork all the time, of Hercules holding up the sky, and with that, you know, the same kind of
yes.
position he was in to tip over Hera. So I kind of smiled at that, like, okay, I get where you're going. And then there goes the big, huge statue.
That's probably completely accidental, too. They
probably.
Maybe. Well, and then, yeah, the giant Hera head, like, kind of like, it doesn't.
I love that it doesn't even crush him. It, like, hits him, and then they fly off like a
cliff. He's still alive. He's still alive to scream, yeah.
Down the waterfall or whatever.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, like, trying to call back the princess's comments in the very beginning of maybe a common cause will unite you and Hera. So he's using Hera to defeat his enemies.
I see. And then only at this point are then all the soldiers like, all right, man, we're all right, now we're in. Now
John Hurt's dead, we can go with you now.
Yeah, that guy, that 95-year-old man who was not a threat to anyone is dead. Now we will join your side.
All hail Dorothy, the Wicked Witch is dead.
Just don't throw any statues at us, please. Yep. And the movie ends with like a weird Ian McShane voiceover.
Which should have been the kid. You expect the kid tells the story at the beginning. Should the kid tell the story at the end?
Nope. I actually stopped and went back to double check who was telling the story in the beginning.
Yep. It's the kid in the beginning and it's Ian McShane at the end.
And he's just like...
Because he became the more popular
really by
character.
That end, who do you want to hear from though? Ian McShane or the kid? Ian McShane.
Yes, absolutely. True. But it was poor choice, I guess, and many, many...
There were many poor
steps
choices.
Along the way with this kid character because he should have been the one to own the end.
Well,
movie.
In the beginning, that makes sense because he's telling the story to the guy who's trying to kill him.
I guess.
You know, it's not like he's narrating the movie. He's telling the story, and then you find out he's telling
this guy.
I guess,
but no one was narrating the movie then.
Well,
so why not?
Nobody's narrating until the end.
Well, 300 ended with narration, so this had to end with narration.
Well, the narration is crazy. It's in McShane going, is he actually the son of Zeus? I don't think it really matters. What? I think that might matter.
The whole movie is he the son of Zeus? Is it all real or is it all fake? We're not going to tell you.
Yeah. And then we get this cool, probably maybe the coolest part of the movie is this motion comic over the credits of Hercules and Team Hercules.
You stayed for the credits?
Don't they do that all the time now? Isn't that the cliche now to do a motion comic credit and then stop after the name of the movie and then go to the black credits unless... You're going to do the mid-credit teaser. Isn't that how every movie
what
goes
What I did
now?
Like about this, though, is it basically showed how, you know, the real story behind
it looks
defeating
cool, but
these things. Like, it wasn't the myth. It was how the team actually...
So it was kind of like at the end of Ridley Scott's Robin Hood. The end of Ridley Scott's Robin Hood, which I would not recommend anyone see unless you've already seen it, ends the same way. It's like, it's Robin Hood, but it's not the Legend of Robin Hood. But then the end credits is the animation of the Robin Hood thing. And then, of course, then it... says the name of the movie and goes to the regular credits like every movie does. But I think that was kind of what that reminded me of.
It was interesting because they kind of show like when he's facing the lion, like because when we had seen it earlier in the movie, like Hercules just like grabbed the lion and like broke his mouth. And then in the motion comic, you're like, oh, actually, it was like his whole team. Like Ian McShane was like stabbing him and like the crazy guy was like hacking him up. And like Hercules is kind of the one who polished him off, but it took all of them to do it. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, I kind of liked the look of how they did it. The movie's totally inconsistent, and you're like, I don't know if this guy is a god or not. Apparently, that's open to interpretation. Okay, so we have a couple of sort of so wrong it's right questions. Does anyone want to take a guess on how much this made worldwide? I don't want to throw a guess out there. I will say this. It had a roughly $100 million budget, which seems high. It did. I mean, this movie doesn't look cheap, but it doesn't look $100 million.
I looked this up. I'm going to abstain.
I feel like any period piece that was going to cost money.
I guess that's true. Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to say worldwide. $150.
I was going to go with $120.
I was going to go way lower. I'm going to go low and say like $58
million. Worldwide, it made $244 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's where they make their money.
It did, but it didn't open at number one in the U.S. It actually opened behind another movie we've done in this podcast. It opened behind Lucy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a bad weekend.
Yeah, that was a tough weekend.
That was a bad weekend for movies.
So I bring this up in that, so it made $244 million, so there was some initial speculation on maybe there would be a sequel because The Rock had talked about what a passion project this was for him. And a lot of the actors got asked, what would they like to see in a sequel if it gets made? John Hurt answered this question. I'm going to give you five choices. One of them is what John Hurt wanted to see in the sequel if it gets made.
More John Hurt.
Hercules versus Jason and the Argonauts. Hercules learns Socrates' philosophy. Hercules time travels to modern New York City. Hercules takes on Pompeii, or Hercules versus Hades in hell.
Didn't he cause Pompeii in this movie?
Maybe. One of those.
I like to see him fighting Kiefer Sutherland in Pompeii.
I'm going
to
say it's the philosophical side of Hercules, and he learns the philosophy of Socrates.
But I'll switch to something else and save it that one. What was the last one? Something in hell?
Hercules versus Hades.
I'll say, that one.
Well, it does have alliteration, though, that would look good on a poster.
I'll go, Hercules v. Hades. Oh, wait, no, because they mentioned Odysseus. I'll go Hercules versus Jason.
Okay.
Jason Voorhees?
It was Socrates' philosophy. And the interviewer says to John Hurt, like, are you serious? And John Hurt's like, no, I'm totally serious. I want Hercules to learn Socrates' philosophy. And then The Rock actually did vaguely pitch a Jason and the Argonauts Hercules movie in his section of the interview. He kind of implied he thought it would be cool to do something like that. Crazy, crazy movie. And it's worth laughing. We won't give them all away, but Christy sent us a list of movies she thought would be good Stop the Movie movies. I think at least three of them. This is a Brett Ratner movie, and I think at least two other movies on the list were Brett Ratner movies.
Yeah.
This is basically these are movies I hate that I don't think you guys have already done, so here you go.
Brett Ratner is good for a lot of terrible movies.
Yeah.
Because
seems to be kind of like a hired gun, like, oh, we need someone to do this big budget movie. Can you do it? Sure.
If you need your movie to not be very good, but not be horrendously bad, like, Brett Ratner's your guy.
Yeah.
Like, if you need it to be mediocre, bring him in.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do a So Wrong It's Right. Jack, we'll start with you this time. Oh, I'm sorry, not So Wrong It's Right. So Bad It's Good? So Bad It's Good.
No, it's not So Bad It's Good, because the parts of it are just genuinely stupid, and parts of it are kind of cool, but not really. It's just kind of a fun, dumb movie. It's nothing special. I think it's somewhat forgettable, actually, and I think it played it safe, and it's just not anything that's worth time.
Cody, what do you think?
I didn't hate this movie. I thought that it was bland in a lot of ways. It was, like, very predictable, I think, with a few tweaks. It's funny, because I really expect this movie to be, like, 2 hours long, so when I saw the runtime was, like, 1:30-something, I was like, wow, that's really short. But after watching it, I feel like it could have been a little longer to explain more things or to have more of the mythology or whatever in there, but I mean, I didn't hate it, and I didn't love it. It was just kind of like,
yeah. I don't know where I am with this movie. It should be a Conan movie. It shouldn't be a Hercules movie. But I also would have liked it better if they'd committed either way to being like a Conan movie, or like he's just a dude who has a team of zany ragtag companions, or if they'd been gone all out and been like, no, he's Hercules, son of Zeus. And I don't know. I don't know where I am with it. It's definitely in the upper tier of movies we see here in terms of watchability, but it's kind of a mess too. I don't know. I'm neither. I don't know where I am with it. View it at your own risk. I give up. I toss in the towel.
Well, I was gonna say, when I saw the trailer for it, I was like, oh, we have to do that because it looks so stupid. But now I watch it. It's one of those ones like, whatever.
There is some funny stuff though, but yeah, I don't know. This is a tough one. Yeah. All right, we'll let Christy go last. Nick, what do you think? Is it So Bad It's Good?
It's very mediocre. I'd say for all the movies I've seen for this podcast, it's the second best one.
What's the best one?
Oh, Knight Rider.
Knight Riders!
Yeah, there's no question.
Knight Riders.
Which I believe is
also my suggestion, yes.
Knight Riders is actually pretty good.
So that was easily the best one. Yeah. Just if for no other reason just than being completely bonkers.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to actually see that movie.
Actually some depth to that film, though.
That movie has stuck.
That's like
with
a good movie.
Yeah.
It's not, but it is. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
I got you coming back.
It burrows into your, like, psyche. Yeah.
I'll check when I get home.
Yeah. Chrissy, and what do you, as the true fan of?
So yeah, I really want a Hercules movie to be good. I love Greek mythology, but I really don't see many movies from that time period that I think actually turn out good. A little bit also, I think The Nutty Professor kind of ruined any Hercules movie, because you ever say the word Hercules and you hear Hercules.
Yeah.
No, I did not like this movie, which is why I sent it along in my list of movies I can't stand that you guys haven't done yet. And it's just like you said, if they had committed one way or the other, maybe I would have liked it a little bit better.
Have you seen the other 2014 Hercules movie, like the Kellen Watts one?
No.
I have not.
I don't even know if I knew it existed, to be honest.
It's lower budget.
Like the Legend of Hercules.
I think it's called The Legend. Because I think there's that point.
I watched the trailer. I couldn't even make it through the trailer.
I think they make a joke about it in this one. Because when they talk, when the storyteller, the nephew is like, what if we, there's something where he says, like, we're thinking of calling it The Legend of Hercules, and the rock
he asks about two titles for his story. Yeah. Hercules, Protector of Thrace, or Savior of Thrace, or Hercules something else. But I don't think they specifically said Legend of Hercules, but they might have.
I think they were trying to take a shot at that other movie.
Yeah. I don't know. I was surprised to hear that it was a passion project for The Rock, because I agree with you, it seemed like he felt uncomfortable. There wasn't really much for him to do aside from stand there and look muscly. You'd think that, honestly, for somebody to play Hercules, at first I thought, okay, yeah, The Rock is kind of a good choice for playing Hercules, but did not work out that way. They never really fleshed out enough of the non-mythology story with all the characters. I don't feel like they got what they could have had if they fleshed that out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I actually thought the movie was too long. One point, I'm like, oh God, this is still only halfway through. My husband, actually, when he left the house while I watched it, he goes, it's an hour and 40 minutes. Have fun. As he walked away. So, I did not like this movie. I don't think it's so bad it's good. I would not recommend it.
Probably, yeah. Pretty understandable. Well, we have many, many more crazy movies coming up. We, Christy and Nick, as you guys may or may not know, we can no longer preview movies that we're going to do because we have burned people badly on that. The terrible Dune. We thought Dune was going to be perfect for this podcast, and yep. it was not. And what else have we...
Theodore Rex, we teased for like...
Oh, God, we teased Theodore Rex for like forever. Literally a year. And there's another movie we teased and started to do, and then we realized it wasn't funny at all, so we didn't do it. So we can't tease movies, but... there are some movies that have been in theaters recently that, come on, we all know what we're talking about.
We are going to do them.
That will probably be on the show.
It is going to happen, yes.
I can't, you know, I'm not...
Generally wait until films are available on disc or stream. This is just, it makes it easier for everybody.
You guys know what we're talking about. All right, we will be back very, very soon. We'll see you next time. Bye.